Sunday, August 31st, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. The Epistle from the Second Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit quickens. Now if the ministration of death, engraven with letters upon stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance which is made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice abounds in glory. Haydock Commentary. Christ hath made us fit ministers of his New Testament by the Spirit, for the letter of the Old Testament killeth, but the Spirit of the New Testament giveth life. The letter killeth, that is, when it is not rightly understood, and taken without the Spirit. God, who hath also made us fit ministers of the New Testament. This verse refers to that in the last chapter where he says, "And for these things, who is so fit? Who is so capable of such a ministry? It is God alone who gives us strength, light, and grace. I am far from giving a part only to God and a part to myself. It all exclusively belongs to him." So says St. John Chrysostom. By the ministration of death, he means the former law, which, by giving them a greater knowledge and not giving graces of itself to fulfill those precepts, occasioned death. It was notwithstanding glorious, accompanied with miracles on Mount Sinai, and the Israelites, when Moses came down from the mountain, could not bear the glory of his countenance, which he was forced to cover with a veil when he spoke to them. Shall not the ministration of the Spirit in the new law, which worketh our sanctification and salvation, abound with much greater glory, especially since the old law was to be made void and pass away? If I thus extol the excellency of my ministry, do not imagine that I attribute anything to myself. I am unworthy of this office, which so far surpasseth that of Moses, that his glory could not be truly called glory when compared with this of ours, which so far excelleth his. The Gospel from Luke chapter 10, verses 23 through 37. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see, and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear, and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, what must I do to possess eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a certain priest went down the same way, and seeing him, passed by. In like manner also a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near him, and seeing him, was moved with compassion. And going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I at my return will repay thee.' Which of these three, in thine opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among robbers?" But he said, "He that showed mercy to him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou in like manner." Haydock Commentary. Blessed are your eyes. As the eyes of such as see and will not believe are miserable, so he says, blessed are your eyes. You see my miracles, you hear my heavenly doctrines. So says St. Thomas Aquinas. Had we not read in a preceding part that Christ exhorted his auditors to search after the knowledge of his words, we might perhaps have thought that Jesus here spoke of corporal eyes and ears. But the eyes here mentioned seem to be those which can discern the mysteries of Christ. So says St. Jerome. Many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them. St. Jerome remarks that these words of our Savior seem to contradict another part of Scripture, where he says, "Abraham desired to see my days, he saw them and rejoiced." But Jerome answers his own objection thus, "Abraham indeed saw my days, but only in a dark manner, in enigma, but not in reality. Whilst you have your Lord with you, you speak to him and interrogate him at pleasure." Christ declares his disciples more blessed than the ancient patriarchs and prophets. They saw him only by faith, but the disciples with their corporal eyes. So says St. John Chrysostom. The law of Moses does not expressly promise eternal life to the observers of it, but confines its promises to temporal blessings during this life. Still, we always find that the Jews hoped in another life after this. This opinion is clearly observable in the books of Scripture, written both before and after the captivity, and in Josephus and Philo. It seems that the question of who is my neighbor was a celebrated controversy among the doctors of the law, some probably affirming that the Jews only were so, while others maintained that their friends alone were their neighbors. Some would have the story of the Great Samaritan to be a true history. Others rather judge it spoken by way of parable, to teach us to perform offices of charity towards all men without exception. Were we to adhere to the mere words of this parable, it would seem to follow that only those who do us good were to be esteemed our neighbors, for the context seems to intimate that the Levite and the priest were not neighbors to the man who fell among the robbers, because they did not assist him. But according to the opinion of most fathers, the intent of this parable is to show that every person who has need of our assistance is our neighbor. Our Savior here shows the Jewish priests how preposterous was their behavior, who, though scrupulously exact in performing all external acts of religion, entirely neglected piety, mercy, and other more essential duties. The Jews despised the Samaritans as wicked and irreligious men, but our Savior here tells them that they were less exact in the works of charity towards their neighbors than the very Samaritans. According to Origen, St. Jerome, St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, and others, the allegorical meaning of the parable is, the man that fell among robbers represents Adam and his posterity. Jerusalem represents the state of peace and innocence which man leaves by going down to Jericho, which means the moon, the state of trouble and sin. The robbers represent the devil, who stripped him of his supernatural gifts and wounded him in his natural faculties. The priest and Levite represent the old law. The Samaritan represents Christ, and the beast, Christ's humanity. The inn means the church. The wine, the blood of Christ. The oil, his mercy. Whilst the host signifies St. Peter and his successors, the bishops and priests of the church.